This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. A crop report issued Monday by the Agriculture Department indicates that America's farmers are preparing to plant 91.7 million acres of corn, 4% less than a year ago and the lowest amount planted to corn since 2010, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. If realized, this year's corn planting would be the fifth largest corn crop since 1944. With 91.7 million acres planted and average yields, final 2014 U.S. corn production is forecast to come in between 13.2 and 13.4 billion bushels. The soybean planting estimate came in at 81.5 million acres, a 6% increase from the 2013 crop. If realized, this would be a record number of soybean acres planted. Likewise, the final U.S. soybean production could set a record of between 3.4 and 3.5 billion bushels. On March 10th, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a favorable ruling strengthening private property rights. In an 8-to-1 decision, Chief Justice Roberts wrote that the federal government does not retain any property interest in easements granted to railroads under the General Railroad Right-of-Way Act of 1875. According to the court, once the railroad abandons the easement, the owner of the underlying land obtains full and unencumbered ownership of the land. In this case, the U.S. patented land to the Brandt family in 1976, subject to an easement that had been granted under the 1875 Act. After the railroad abandoned the easement, the U.S. claimed to retain an implied revisionary interest, providing the government with full ownership of the 200-foot-wide strip of land. The government had planned to construct a public recreational trail that would have bisected the Brandt's property. In November, AFBF joined with allies in an amicus brief urging the U.S. Supreme Court to promote a stable set of rules defining property rights and reject the government's position. The court's decision should prevent the U.S. from asserting ownership of abandoned 1875 Act easements. In advance of this year's planting season, the American Seed Trade Association has been working to promote the safe handling and management of treated seed through the Seed Treatment Manners Initiative. Outreach has been made to seed companies, national and state agribusiness and grower associations, and pesticide safety educators. To date, more than 3,000 people have watched videos about seed treatment stewardship, and more than 7,500 have visited the Guide to Seed Treatment Stewardship website. ASTA is urging farmers to review safe practices for planting, handling, management, and storage of treated seed in order to minimize potential risks to the environment and non-target organisms. University of Missouri Extension swine nutrition specialist Marcia Shannon advises pork producers to take extra precautions with feed and delivery trucks to prevent the spread of porcine epidemic diarrhea virus. Recent spread of PEDV increases the need for better biosecurity associated with all aspects of the farm. The virus is most deadly to piglets 3 weeks or younger and slows the growth performance of older pigs for about 2 weeks. PEDV spreads through contact with contaminated feces, and the virus appears to survive in manure for a long time, especially in cold weather. TGE virus, which is similar to PEDV, will survive in manure for more than 8 weeks at 40 degrees Fahrenheit and only 2 weeks at 70 degrees. The results of our review are dismaying, said American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman regarding the Environmental Protection Agency's proposed rule on waters of the U.S., which was released March 25th. Clean Water Act jurisdiction over farmlands amounts to nothing less than federal veto power over a farmer's ability to farm, according to Stallman. The EPA proposal poses a serious threat to farmers, ranchers, and other landowners, according to Stallman. Under EPA's proposed new rule, waters, even ditches, are regulated even if they are miles from the nearest navigable waters. Indeed, so-called waters are regulated even if they aren't wet most of the time. EPA says its new rule will reduce uncertainty, and that much seems to be true. There isn't much uncertainty if most every feature where water flows or stands after a rainfall is federally regulated. The American Farm Bureau Federation is dedicated to opposing this attempted end run around the limits set by Congress and the Supreme Court. The Brazilian government is considering launching a World Trade Organization case regarding 2014 Farm Bill provisions related to cotton. A compliance panel on the issue could be convened at the next meeting of the WTO on April 25th. It is likely to take the WTO at least a year to review and determine if the new Stacked Income Protection Program, or STACS, included in the Farm Bill is WTO compliant. The WTO ruled in 2009 that direct payments to U.S. cotton producers were not legal. That ruling led cotton farmers to push for the STACS provisions in the new Farm Bill. Brazil's cotton producers are contending the STACS program will cause an even greater distortion to the world cotton market than did the direct payments. AFBF is monitoring this issue closely. Geographic indicators are a way of labeling products to tie them to particular places in an effort to enhance marketability. Through the ongoing transatlantic trade and investment partnership negotiations, the European Union is trying to get the United States to accept this approach. Dave Salmonson, the American Farm Bureau Federation's trade specialist, explained how this would harm America's dairy farmers in Tuesday's Newsline. More than 50 U.S. senators have written a letter to U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman and Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack opposing the use of geographic indicators. Farm Bureau is working to ensure the U.S. government is fully aware of the industry's concerns as negotiations move forward. Controversial and blunt, the Childhood Agricultural Safety Network's Keep Kids Away from Tractors campaign has rattled traditional thinking. Stating that it is never okay for a child younger than 12 years to be on a tractor, the campaign takes on a tough love approach. The earliest a child should be on a tractor is when he or she is old enough to take and pass tractor safety educational classes, according to the network. The campaign may be unpopular or even upset parents and farm owners. Riding a tractor with parents or grandparents is considered a childhood tradition in many rural areas. Some adults consider this quality time with the child. During the past year, however, a number of fatal, high-profile incidents underscored the danger of allowing children, and some just toddlers, to ride on a lap, sit on a fender, or stand on the axle. In an eye blink, the child can fall in the path of a tire, mower, or other implement. Some of the fatalities occurred despite cabs. The Childhood Agricultural Safety Network is a coalition of 38 health, safety, and youth organizations who advocate for child safety on the farm. With help from a grant awarded through the American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture's White Reinhardt Fund for Education program, Kansas Farm Bureau late last year launched its Agricultural Education mobile app. Based on the book Milk Comes from a Cow, the app is designed for parents or teachers and young students alike. Milk Comes from a Cow, part of the popular Kaylee's Ag Adventure series written by former KFB Executive Director CEO Dan Young, follows Kaylee as she learns where milk really comes from. The app enhances the reading experience for early learners in kindergarten through grade 4. The official position of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, the professional organization of registered dietitians, is that any food can fit into a healthful diet. Its list of foods to avoid is non-existent unless you have allergies or other sensitivities to consider. Higher retail prices for several food items used to prepare breakfast, including bacon, eggs, and bread, among other foods, resulted in a slight increase in the American Farm Bureau Federation's latest semi-annual market basket survey. The informal survey shows the total cost of 16 food items that can be used to prepare one or more meals was $53.27, up $1.73, or about 3.5% compared to a survey conducted a year ago. Of the 16 items surveyed, 10 increased, 5 decreased, and 1 remained the same in average price. Although retail egg prices are historically high at $1.98 per dozen, consumers will find an adequate supply of the protein powerhouses to fill Easter baskets and for Passover meals, according to John Anderson, Deputy Chief Economist at the American Farm Bureau Federation. Further, eggs remain a relatively low-cost source of protein at a time when other meat and dairy product prices are also up. Recent global demand for eggs has been very strong. In 2013, U.S. egg exports were up by 39% compared to the prior year. Much of the increase was due to an increase in exports to Mexico, which, in addition to having strong consumer demand, has also had its domestic egg supply reduced by an avian influenza outbreak that began in early 2012. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.